Colossians chapter 1, we'll read verses 9 to 17, because that is a sentence. Sometimes we think of the verse as a verse by itself, but a verse is not a verse by itself. It fits into context of the chapter and, of course, of the whole book. And so chapter 1, verses 9 to 17, we'll read. We'll focus in really on verses 12 to 17 in the message this morning. But today is Thanksgiving Sunday. This is Thanksgiving weekend, as we know. There's no shortage of things to be thankful for today. We could start listing, and we could be here. We could spend the next hour thinking about things we could be thankful for, and we would have just scratched the surface, really, of the things that we ought to be thankful for. We live in a beautiful country, Canada. It's a great country. For some of us, it's home. For some of us, we came here later on. We've adopted this country, and we've been adopted into this country. We're thankful for this place. It's a beautiful place. It's also a bountiful country, isn't it? There's lots of things here. There's lots of harvest. This time of the year, we see a lot of harvest, and we see all the bounty of the country, and what a beautiful thing it is to think about the food that is available to us. Sadly, a lot of it gets wasted, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking of those times when you didn't want to eat your food, and your parents said, you know, there's children in other parts of the world that would die to have that food, and you felt like saying, well, just send it to them because I don't want it. But we are a wasteful people, but we are a very bountiful nation of our food, and we should be very thankful for that. We also a country that's free from bondage. Think about the place in the world today where people, if they're meeting as Christians, they're meeting in fear. They're meeting thinking that right now, possibly, somebody's going to break through that door and arrest me for being here meeting to worship God. They're willing to pay that price, but they're meeting in fear of doing so. And so there's many things that we realize that we should be thankful for in our country. We have family, friends, food, finances, and freedom. We, again, could sit down and talk about the many, many, many blessings that we have. We ought to be a very thankful people. But as wonderful as those things are, and as much as we ought to be thankful to God for each and every one of them and more, there's a greater reason to give thanks. That's why I titled the message this morning is A Greater Reason to Give Thanks. It's a reason that many people don't understand. Some people say, well, what more could you give thanks for than for those things that you've generalized by saying the things that you have already? Well, there is something that's greater even than that, as wonderful as those are. And I don't want to take away from those wonderful blessings that we enjoyed, but there is something greater. As much as we take many other blessings for granted, I believe that we also take for granted the greatest blessing that we have and ought to be the most thankful for. And that, of course, is salvation. Salvation is something that we ought to be the most grateful, the most thankful, the most joyful in of anything else. And again, those other things are so wonderful and so powerful, and they perhaps let us enjoy our salvation in a greater way in some ways. But our salvation is the top thing. It's the thing that we should be the most thankful for. It is the thing that we take most for granted, though. As Christians, we take for granted many things. Living in this great country, all the blessings that we have, but we also take for granted our salvation. If we would realize the eternal significance and the great cost of our salvation and who paid for our salvation, it would cause us to be very, 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 very thankful. Eternally thankful, and we will be eternally thankful, but that thankfulness ought to be every day now, every moment of our lives now. Our thanks would not only be verbal, but it would be lived out in our life. Again, I entitled the message this morning, A Greater Reason to Give Thanks. And I trust that God will use it to stir our hearts to realize what we have in salvation in Jesus Christ. And if you're not here this morning, you say, I don't understand. You are here this morning. Let me carry out that thought. If you're here this morning and you say, I don't understand what you're talking about. How could there be anything greater than the material things that we have? How could there be anything to be more thankful for than that? I trust that through the message this morning that you will see and understand that there is something that you can enjoy today that will last for all of eternity that is freely offered to you, and something for which you will be eternally thankful for, and that is salvation through Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, Verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of Christ, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be in partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, and visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." Let's pray together. This morning, Lord, we come to You on this Thanksgiving weekend, and we are truly thankful for the many blessings that You bestow upon us in our life. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for, and though we could say that same thing no matter where we lived in the world, yet we of all people ought to be realizing that we have so much more to be thankful for than many people even understand. Lord, the bounty and the beauty and the freedom that we have is something that, Lord, we so often take for granted, but it is such a blessing, and we thank You for it so much. But Lord, this morning we have been reminded and will be reminded in the message of something greater than all these things, something that had the greatest price tag ever paid, something, Lord, that has a price that was paid by You and just needs to be accepted by us to be enjoyed, something that will last not just for the days of our life, but for all of eternity. Lord, I pray this morning that we would realize the awesome love, the awesome price that was paid for our salvation. And this morning, Lord, may it be that we would leave here so thankful for our salvation. Lord, may it be that this morning, if there's somebody that's here without Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today they would realize just what it means to be saved. And today they would trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. That they too then would have the joy in their hearts and the thanksgiving would overflow from their lives. This Thanksgiving more than any other, because they would have the joy of that salvation in their heart. So speak to us each one, I pray, Lord, and just draw us closer to Yourself through this service, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to think about, first of all, the target of our thanks. The target of our thanks. Who is it that we should be thankful for? And we're in church this morning. We say, well, duh, no brainer. We know who we need to give thanks to. We need to give thanks to God. God is the one who is to be given thanks to. But you realize that today, that although there's a day set aside tomorrow to give thanks, a lot of people really don't understand who to give thanks to. There's people who say, I don't believe in a supreme being. I don't believe in a God. And therefore, who do I give thanks to on Thanksgiving Day? They may thank their lucky stars. That may be an English expression. But I remember growing up hearing that expression. You can thank your lucky stars. Well, you know, there are no lucky stars to thank. But there is a God to thank. Some people would thank good luck. Or they would thank karma, or they would thank something. They would say, well, I'm just thankful to this. And don't get me wrong, it's good to express thanks to one another as well at Thanksgiving time. But because of the impact of atheism and agnosticism in our land and in our world, many really don't know who to thank for things that are beyond the regular, the normal. Obviously, somebody gives you something, you say thank you. But what about the things that are beyond that? What about the miracles of life? What about the things that just happen with there's no explanation, humanly speaking. Who do you give thanks to for that if you don't believe in God? Well, there is a God, and He is the one that we ought to show our thanks to. The Bible tells us in verse 12, giving thanks unto who? The Father. God. Why do we give thanks to God? Well, James 1:17 says that He is the giver of every good and perfect gift. All we have comes from God. You may say, no, this I have, and it was given to me by, ultimately, everything we have that's good came from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It comes from God. 1 Corinthians 4:7. What hast thou that thou didst not receive? Say, I earned money. I made money and I bought that for myself. Who gave you life? Who gave you health? Who gave you the ability? Who gave you that job? Everything comes ultimately from God. And beyond the many material gifts, He's also given the greatest gift, such that the Apostle Paul, in writing 2 Corinthians, said in chapter 9, verse 15, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Such a great gift, that gift of salvation. You see, in giving salvation, God has given us something that nobody else could ever even come close to giving us, not even ourselves. God gave in love. That's why we need to give thanks to the Father, because He is the giver of everything, and He gave in love. You know, there are numerous ways you can give, aren't there? There is the gifts of obligation. You know those gifts of obligation? Oh, I'm invited to this wedding. Even if I can't go, I guess I better buy a gift. Oh, it's so-and-so's retirement, and they're passing around a card for people to fill in at work. I guess I'll have to give, because otherwise I'll look like, Scrooge and not giving. So I guess I'll have to give. There's those gifts. You give them in obligation. You feel like you should do it because maybe they've done something for you, and you think, oh, I should give them something. Or just who they are, I guess I'm supposed to give. Some people give to get. Well, if I give to this person, hey, when my turn comes around, right? They give in order to get back. And there are people who give, and sometimes we're guilty of that. We give hoping to get something. You know, there's giving to show off. People give to show off. Sometimes they buy something for somebody just to say, look what I can afford to buy. And they buy to show off. There's many different reasons that people give. But you know, the greatest reason to give is the way God gave, and that is love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There's no greater reason to give than out of love. Why? Because giving out of love is to show honest care for the receiver, whether they deserve it or not, whether they can give back or not, whether you feel obligated or not. You give because I want to do it, because I care, and I want to show my care through the gift that I give. That's the greatest way to give. And as a receiver of a gift, that's the best kind of gift to receive. You say, well, I don't know. I wouldn't mind a gift that somebody gave to show off, But when it comes right down to it, isn't there more meaning to something that you get from somebody who loved you enough to give it to you? It may be less, materially speaking, but when you know somebody gave it to you because they cared, it takes on very special meaning. You know those notes that your kids gave you when they were small? They didn't cost them anything. They may have been filling in time. You may have been just getting them to just try getting them quiet. Here, just draw a picture. But you got that and you said, and it said, I love you, Daddy. Well, that meant more than $1 million would mean. Not $1 million would be okay, but it would meant more, right? Because it was given in love. God gave in love. He didn't give because He had to give. He didn't give because He wanted to show off. He didn't give because He thought that maybe I'm going to get something back. No, He gave because He loves. He gave in love. And the greatest gift He has given was the greatest value and demonstrated the greatest love. And that is the gift of Jesus Christ to provide for our salvation. We should give thanks. The target of our thanks to be to God. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. He's the giver who gives in love, and His gift is timeless. The gift of God is eternal life. Eternal. What's eternal? It means it never ends. We have a saying, don't we? The gift that keeps on giving. There's no gift that will give forever except for that one. That is the gift that keeps on giving. The gift of salvation in Jesus Christ is the gift that keeps on giving. If somebody gives you something that will last because they love you, that becomes the most precious gift. You may have some of those gifts stashed away somewhere in safekeeping. You say, this means so much to me. John Newton said, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as a sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. For all eternity, we will enjoy the gift if we receive it. We will enjoy the gift that God gave when He gave Jesus Christ to be our Savior. It is a timeless gift. But what about the time of our thanks? In Canada, the second Monday of October is set aside as Thanksgiving. In the U.S., what is it? The fourth Thursday of November is set aside as the day before Black Friday. No, the fourth Friday is set aside as Thanksgiving. Right? It's the day set aside to give thanks. Different countries. I grew up in England, and in England, sometime in September, I remember a special day of thanks. The harvest time is a time to give thanks, and that's what our Thanksgiving days are usually centered around. It's a good thing. But our text here speaks of something greater than just once a year. Our text says, giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks. I'm not an English scholar. I was born in England, but I live in Cambridge, but I'm not a Cambridge scholar. I'm not a big English scholar. But in my research, I came to the conclusion this is the present continuous tense. I thought it was, and then I looked it up, and then I thought for a minute maybe it wasn't, because it has to have the verb to be associated with something that usually ends in ing. But to be really is assumed at the beginning of our verse, because he's talking about what he is doing, and then he says giving thanks. It's assumed, an assumed verb of to be or are. You are giving thanks. So the present continuous tense is something that happens before or after after a particular time, and it continues on. It carries on. You know, he doesn't say here, we gave thanks to God who made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. He didn't say, we will give thanks to God who made us meet to be inheritance. Partakers of the inheritance. He says, giving thanks. That indicates that our thanks is an ongoing thing. It's already going on, and it will carry on. It started before now, and it is presently being taking place, but it will continue in time to come. Although Thanksgiving weekend is a good idea, one or two days of thanks is insufficient for all that God does for us. Giving thanks gives that indication of a continual, ongoing situation. To set aside a day to give thanks indicates, oh, well, I guess we'd better say thank you, so let's set aside a day to say thank you. But to say we are giving thanks says we have so much to be thankful for that we can't fit it all in a day. So we're just going to carry on, and we're going to continually, perpetually be thankful for what God has done for us. Four times in Colossians, he speaks of giving thanks, twice in chapter 1 and twice in chapter 3. In Colossians 3, verse 15 and 17, it's connected with our everyday life and our everyday activity. Again, it's assumed that giving thanks, a continual, everyday, a carrying on of thanks. Thanksgiving to God should be a part of our everyday life, because what He has done impacts us every day of our life. Psalm 145:2 says, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. That sounds like the present continuous, doesn't it? In Psalm 119:164, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. Seven times, that's ongoing. It's more than just a day a year. Seven times a day, David said. Our thanksgiving to God will continue for all of eternity. And really there it will be even greater, because there we'll understand all the more how thankful we ought to be. Psalm 79:13 says, So we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever and will show forth thy praise to all generations. Remember what we just said a few minutes ago, when we've been there 10,000 years, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise. Sing God's praise. Why? Because the time of our thanks is a present continuous. It's now, for every day, throughout our life, and throughout eternity. Singing God's praise, determined to make every day a day of praise. But what about the thought behind our thanks? Why should we give thanks to the Father? Why should we continually give thanks to the Father? What is the reason? What is the motive? What is the thought behind our giving thanks? Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. So we should be thankful in everything. But our text gives the greatest reason, and it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. In one word, what's the reason? What's the thought behind our thanks? Our salvation. But we break it down into some things that will, I think, give us greater cause and greater reason to give thanks to God. We need to realize that because of our salvation, we have been prepared for heaven. Prepared for heaven. He has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What does that mean? What does that mean to be made meet to be partakers of with the saints? Well, it speaks of being made ready for heaven. Partakers means sharers, or people who share in something. We get to partake in something. We're partaking in the inheritance. What is an inheritance? An inheritance is an acquisition or a heritage. What kind of inheritance is it? And who are we sharing it with? With the saints, the fellow believers, the consecrated ones. In light. Where is light? Where is it that never gets dark? Heaven. We get to go to heaven, that place where there is no darkness, because God, who is light, dwells there. And how come? What makes it possible that we would go to heaven? Well, the Bible says that He, God, has made us meet. That's M-E-E-T, not M-E-A-T. We're not made meat, as in something to eat, but we are made meat, means fit. We are made fitting. We are made prepared. We are qualified for heaven. That's a great thing to think about, isn't it? Being made meat or qualified to go to heaven. Heaven. Heaven's that place that everyone dreams about. Heaven is that place that everyone says, that's where I want to go ultimately when this life is over. Heaven is where everyone is assumed to go in many circles. But Revelation 21 and 22, and we won't take the time to read them this morning, but if we would take time to look, it describes the beauty of a place that far exceeds even the beauty of our country and our world. It speaks of a place of perfection. Place where streets are gold, a place where there's no colds and there's no flus and there's no pain and there's no separation and there's no tears, and it's a wonderful place. See, if I could ever go there, that would be the ultimate place to aspire to go to. Everyone wants its beauty. Everyone wants its lack of sorrow. Every time we suffer sorrow and pain in this life and discouragement, we say, one day there's a place where it's all going to be over. Wouldn't it be great to be there? It's called heaven. We know in Revelation 21 and 22, it also talks about some people who are not there. They're on the outside. Now, wait a minute, that means not everyone's going there? No, not everyone's going there. Not everyone's going there. There's some people who are on the outside and they didn't make it to heaven. And that list includes numerous things, but two may catch our attention as being things that we are guilty of many times in our life. One is unbelief, and the other is lying. Now, the other things are important, don't get me wrong, but those two things should arrest our attention because we can all see ourselves in those two words probably many times in our life, in the past, possibly in the present. That's probably because we would be surprised to think about those things being excluding people from heaven because, well, they're just little things, aren't they? They're not the big sins of other things that are mentioned, murderers, idolaters, all those other things. They're just little things. But you see, the Bible tells us that as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. None. That means nobody in this room. That means nobody in this city, nobody in this region, nobody in this province, this country, this world. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. There's none that doeth good. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know that we don't deserve heaven? So when we come to look at our text here and it says God has made us meet or qualified us to be partakers in heaven. Hey, that gets our attention a little bit more, doesn't it? Because we don't deserve to go there of ourselves. If God let one sin into heaven, it wouldn't be heaven anymore. If there was just one thief in heaven, one liar, one murderer, then it wouldn't be heaven anymore. Many think that they are preparing a place in heaven for themselves. They think, well, I'm a pretty good person, so I don't really need God to make me a place there. I can get there myself. You know, the Bible is very clear that there's none righteous. And the Bible is also very clear that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. In Galatians 2:16, it says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the hearing of faith, even we have believed. We're not justified by the works of the law. We offend in one point, we're guilty of all, even though we may keep the rest. We're not going there automatically, and we can't earn our way, so how can we be made meet for heaven? Well, that's what our verse tells us, isn't it? We should give thanks to God because He has made us meet. We couldn't do it ourselves. Nobody could do it for us except for Him. Without Him, we would have no hope of heaven. The only way we can go to heaven is by believing what Jesus Christ has done for us. When we realize what He has done, we will be giving thanks unto the Father because He's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, I'm persuaded sometimes as Christians that we aren't as thankful as we ought to be about our salvation. Because we kind of think, you know, I wasn't too bad of a person. God didn't really have to do very much to save me. You know what? He did have to do a lot to save us. And we need to be very thankful for what He was willing to do. Prepared for heaven, but delivered from darkness. Verse 13 goes on to say, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Jesus said to a group of religious people, a year of your father, the devil. Realize that we weren't God's children by birth. We're children of wrath, the Bible describes us as. We are sinners by nature. God is pure and right and holy. He's not sinful in any way. So we don't deserve to go to heaven. We just talked about that. But what we deserve darkness. We're in the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom. But in salvation, we've been delivered from that. See, sometimes we are thankful about the good things. And sometimes we may say, well, you know, I am thankful that I have a nice meal to eat. I am thankful I have a place to live. But then, if you see where other people live and third world countries and what they have to eat, doesn't that make you a little bit extra thankful for what you thought you were already thankful for? think it does, doesn't it? And you know, when you think about heaven, you say, yes, I'm thankful I can go to heaven. But I think that it makes us a little more thankful, actually a lot more thankful, when we see the alternative to heaven. Giving thanks, not only because we can be partakers with the saints in the inheritance and light, but being thankful because we've been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. In Romans 6:23 it says, the wages of sin is death. That death is spiritual. It speaks of eternal separation from God in a place God calls hell in the Bible. It's the place that the wages of our sin are paid. And if we're all sinners and we deserve to go there, but we've been delivered from that, we should be very thankful that we've been delivered. In Revelation 20, it says that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But as Christians, as believers in Jesus Christ, we can give thanks today because we've not only been able to go to heaven, but we've been delivered from a lake of fire for all of eternity. Hell is a literal place. It's far worse than the things that people talk of as being hell here on earth. You ever hear somebody say, well, that person's just going through hell right now? No, they're not. When a person gets to hell, they will never get out. Because Jesus said that in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes being in torments. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9 that hell is a place where it's eternally pain. The fire is not quenched. Hell is a real place. And if you have been delivered from that by salvation in Jesus Christ, thanks. Give thanks to Him today. If you're not sure that you've received that gift of salvation, then please realize that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And you can receive it by Jesus Christ. Just accept Him. Believe in Him. And be saved. Many times we aren't thankful because we don't realize what we've been saved from. You say, are you saved? Oh yeah, yeah, I'm saved. Are you glad? Oh yeah, I'm glad. But you realize what you've been saved from today? Been delivered from the power of darkness. Been translated into the kingdom of His Son. Heaven, beauty. Hell, torment. You get heaven. You don't have to experience hell because of what Jesus did. He's made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance. And He did it Himself for you and for me. He redeemed us from iniquity because the wages of sin is death. So He said, I will redeem you from death. I will redeem you from your sin so that you can enjoy heaven. The only way we can be prepared for heaven and delivered from darkness is by the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The redemption is through His blood. His blood, His lifeblood. He shed it for you and He shed it for me. He died on the cross. They beat Him. They whipped Him. They plucked the hair out of His beard. And then they nailed Him to a cross. And the nails went through His hands and through His feet. They pierced a spear into His side. The blood flowed so that you and I could be redeemed from iniquity. So that we could be made meet to be partakers of the inheritance with the saints in light. So that we could be delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His Son. Religion cannot redeem you. Good works cannot redeem you. Money cannot buy your salvation. It is only through the precious blood of Christ, not by silver or gold. Jesus had to die and His blood had to be shed so that we could be saved. So we could be redeemed. So we could be bought back. So we could go where we don't deserve and be spared from where we do deserve to go. And wait a minute. Who was it that did that for us? Verse 15, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Verse 16, by Him, the one who created all things that are in heaven and that are in earth and that are under the earth. All, everything, He made it. And He said, I will go and I will be their price. I will shed my blood so that they can be redeemed. Giving thanks to the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Oh, did you get a picture this morning of why? Why it's that present continuous tense when you realize what we've been saved to, what we've been saved from, how we were saved and who saved us? Oh, praise God, what a salvation that we have. Do you realize that it says in verse 13 that we've been translated? God has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. You know, the word translate here means to carry away, to exchange. Well, that's a beautiful truth, isn't it? You know why? Because it reminds us of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. He hath made Him, Christ, to be sin for us. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There was an exchange that took place. The just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. What a beautiful exchange that was made when Jesus took our place upon the cross. And so, we said a few minutes ago that not one lie, not one theft, not one sin can enter into heaven. How is it possible then that sinners can go there? Why? Because we have been made righteous in Jesus Christ when we believe in Him. That's why, because our sins are gone. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song. Buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Why? Because Jesus took them. He paid the price for us so that we can have eternal life. And what did we have to do to get it? Believe. Believe, that's it. Believe. Just believe. Believe what He said about us. We're sinners and we need a Savior. Believe what He told us about Himself. He is God and He came down and He died for us. He took our place. Believe in Him. Believe, place our faith in Him and we can have eternal life, be saved for a time and for eternity. Oh, that's something to give thanks about. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Can you give thanks for that today? If you're here and you've been saved, I hope this has just been a reminder. I know I'm quote unquote preaching to the choir today. If you're saved, you say, preacher, you didn't tell us anything we didn't already know. And I know. You know what I wanted to tell you this morning? I wanted to tell you, just to remind you what God did for you. So you can leave here today with a skip in your step to say, thank God, what He did for me. If you're not saved here today, if you never believed in Jesus Christ, you don't have the confidence that heaven is your home. I preached today this message. God gave it for me to preach to you today so you'd understand how much He loves you. What He wants to save you from. And what He'll do for you if you just believe in Him today. You can't earn it. Nobody can buy it for you. But you can have it for free. Just by saying, yes, Lord, I believe it is for me. Oh, we have so much to be thankful for today. But there's a greater reason to give thanks. Greater reason than the material things, the food on the table, the house to live in, the vehicles to get us to and fro. They're wonderful. They're things to thank God for. But there's a greater reason to give thanks. Have you received the greatest gift that was ever given? For all of eternity, if you have, you will be thankful for your salvation. Let that resonate in your heart and mind today. And if you're not sure of heaven today, would you please, please say, God, please forgive me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I believe that you did it for me. You shed your blood so I could have eternal life. Please forgive me and be my Savior. You know what? If you pray that from your heart, it doesn't have to be those exact words, but if you place your faith in Jesus Christ, you call upon Him, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a greater reason to give thanks today. Let's pray together.